An infant feeding expert says the feeding needs of infants and young children has been overlooked in Australian emergency planning. Dr. Carlene Gribble, adjunct associate professor from the Western Sydney University's School of Nursing and Midwifery, is one of many experts and health organisations calling for support for better care of infants and young children during emergencies. We are joined now by Dr. Carlene Gribble. Good morning.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, to start off, I did want to ask, what kind of stories or scenarios did you hear unfolding for parents and carers during the Black Summer bushfire?
The fires went from sort of September through to February a year ago and affected a lot of people. So parents had experiences where they needed to prepare to evacuate quite quickly, many thousands of people. Some who were most harshly affected by the fires were in a position where they had to evacuate. They were in evacuation centres or in towns where there wasn't clean water, or the water was contaminated, where they didn't have access to power either, and where they didn't have mobile phone coverage and the supermarkets were closed. It was quite a drastic situation for many families.
I mean, it sounds so, so stark. And one of the submissions made to the Royal Commission International Disasters mentioned this, that the access to potable hot water was severely reduced or not available at all. And the lack of power and a lack of publicly available information about water quality and its impact on safe infant feeding.
I mean, the thing to think about, we can talk about the loss of all those things, but in terms of what that actually means on the ground, if you're a mother who's breastfeeding your baby, then those things aren't going to impact you so much. But if you're formula feeding an infant, you really rely on having access to clean water and access to hot water, which you require power for, to wash feeding implements. And if you don't have those, then you're really in quite a dire situation. And I did talk to parents who were in that situation where they didn't have clean water, they didn't have electricity to be able to heat water, they weren't able to buy a stove to heat water either, because those had all sold out. And the emergency services were actually not prepared. They didn't have a plan to support families in that situation. So they were really on their own. And that's not a good situation at all.
So you've said that the feeding needs has been overlooked in Australian emergency planning. Whose responsibility is it? Is it like a federal, state, local? Whose responsibility is it to have this planning in place?
Well, there's responsibility at each level of government, from the federal to the state to local governments, and it depends which state or territory you're in, how that's sort of divided up. The problem that we've got when it comes to infant and young child feeding, and in fact children in general, is that there's no government agency that has responsibility for this group. It's sort of a case of, well, it's everybody's responsibility, which in practice means it's nobody's responsibility and it's not getting covered.
Wow, that honestly blows my mind. Why do you think this is? Why hasn't it been addressed yet?
Look, it's been recognised, and we've got documents from governments that say that they recognise that children have not had strong advocacy in emergency planning. Anecdotally, people have said, emergency management and response is a very male-dominated field. There aren't very many women there, and it's often women who are advocating for children. And so I think that that's part of the picture, certainly. But also, children don't have their independent voice. They can't advocate for themselves. They need other people to do it. So they are in a position where we need to have this strong advocacy. And that's why this call for action that was just launched a couple of weeks ago has really shown, I think, quite powerfully that now we have lots of organisations that are recognising that something needs to be done.
And what do you think needs to be done? What action?
Well, this call for action, which was signed by, I think it's now up to 40 health, women's, emergency and children's organisations. So organisations like Save the Children, the Salvation Army, UNICEF, the Rural Health Alliance. So lots of different organisations have signed on to this. They've asked the federal government, because you know they're the top tier, and I guess it starts at the top, to actually make somebody responsible for infant and young child feeding in emergencies. So to have the Federal Department of Health responsible, and to convene an expert stakeholder group to actually develop model planning for the states and territories and local governments and emergency organisations to actually help them to provide good support in emergencies to infants and young children. And to also develop a handbook on children in emergencies so that, again, emergency organisations know what they need to do. Because I think at the moment they're just, I don't want to be too critical of them. They may want to do the right thing, but at the moment they don't have the information or advice in order to be able to do it. And I guess that's what this call for action is all about. It's actually about providing guidance and support so that governments and organisations can actually do a good job when an emergency comes. Because again, there's going to be more emergencies. We know that for certain.
That's for sure. Carleen, thank you so, so much for joining us and telling us about this call for action.
You're very welcome.